Will you please report to the radio booth?
It's Steve Cochran from the Allstate Skyline Studio
on 720 WGN.
All right, raise your hand. How many of you had a Franklin Covey planner? I'm talking about the legitimate paper product, the book you'd open, you'd write this stuff down. I'm the only one?
Yeah, no.
How could they have been the gigantic success they were if I was the only one buying them? Okay, if you say so. Scott Jeffrey Miller, Executive Vice President at Franklin Covey. By the way, a company that's done a very nice job at transitioning to the digital world. Scott Jeffrey Miller joins us now. Scott Jeffrey Miller, I don't know, what do I call you other than Mr. Miller?
Scott. Good morning, by the way.
Hey, Scott, listen, I'm a customer. I, unlike these other people on the show who are frauds who claim they haven't bought your product, I know they have.
Well, I appreciate that. In fact, at our peak, we sold 40 million planners a year. We've actually transitioned out of that business now and are almost an exclusively consulting company focused on leadership development. But thank you for your business. You made us who we are.
And you have a book called Management Mess to Leadership Success, 30 Challenges to Become the Leader That You Would Follow. That's really the goal, right? You got to be a good enough leader that people would follow. So ask yourself the question, what's going to make you somebody that would follow you?
That's right. I think there's this truth, Steve, that all of us have some messes. No one is a complete success. No one's a complete mess. But I think that vulnerability is going to be a key leadership competency in the coming years. So as leaders can look at their blind spots, recognize you've got some messes. So let's just call them out. Call them out yourself. Everybody else sees them. You might as well own them yourself and move towards success.
Listening, big part of that, right?
Huge. There's 30 challenges in the book. The third one is listen first. And Steve, it's kind of counterintuitive because most leaders have spent their career learning how to be a better communicator, talk better, build your vocabulary, be more influential. But listening is also a leadership skill. And it takes a really selfless, really empathetic listener to really understand what the other person's fears are, their concerns. It's counterintuitive, but it's wildly important.
Making time for relationships is challenge number 10. Is that face-to-face or digital or both?
I think it's everything. I think it's important that all leaders know your people are your most precious asset, and your job is to build culture, create conditions where everybody chooses a high level of engagement. So appropriately, get to know your people. You know, after your reputation, your relationships are your most important legacy in life. So slow down. To quote our founder, Stephen Covey, with people, slow is fast, and fast is slow. Relationships are everything in the workplace.
Show loyalty. This is a big one to me. Loyalty really matters, and not fake loyalty like we see in politics today, but actual legitimate loyalty where you give it and you get it in return.
Steve, it's so true. I think the best way to build loyalty is to make sure that you're loyal to others. And I kind of talk about in the book how gossip is a cancer in organizations. And the tip that I give, that Dr. Covey again popularized, is whenever you are talking about someone who is not in your presence, speak about them as if they were, as if they were standing right next to you. Always be loyal to the absent. Because when you're loyal to those who are absent, you build the trust and confidence of those who are present. So if I talk about you just like I would when you're not around, everybody else will know that I'm not going to gossip about them as well. I think it is arguably the biggest tangible skill that leaders can use to change the culture of their organization. Just stop talking about people when they're not around you as if they were around you.
Yeah, because you also make it okay in the book to tell the truth to others, including you, the boss. And you talk about creating vision and identifying the wildly important goals that you have, because that's not always obvious. Making high-value decisions, leading through change, and getting better. It's all in the book, Management Mess to Leadership Success, 30 Challenges to Become the Leader You Would Follow. Now, Mark Carman is here, filling in for Dave Ennett this week. Now, Mark, you're somebody who always seems to be working on self-improvement.
Thank you, Steve.
I respect that. You're out in the woods with your shirt off, beating your chest with other people, and communing.
But
you're trying to get better. So organizationally, you've told me in the past that you're a mess.
Yes, that's true. It's a skill gap.
So here's your shot. Scott Jeffrey Miller is here. He's the boss at Franklin Covey. What do you want to know from Scott?
Well, if we're going organizationally, I think that's kind of a nuts and bolts thing. But I am curious, like, what you would say to somebody who thinks they have it all in their head, Scott, and can plan their day, their month, and then ends up you get in a situation where perhaps you're letting people down because you've double booked yourself, you forget things, and then if you have somebody like that in your organization, how would you handle it?
I think two bits of advice: multitasking is a myth. It's not true. People can do more than one thing at the same time, but not with excellence. So I would argue, make less commitments. Under-promise and over-deliver. You know, I have a similar challenge. I tend to want to be all things to all people, and if I commit to 10 things, I'm going to deliver 7 in spades, but 3 people, I'm going to leave in a lurch. So I am deliberately trying to commit and say yes more, less, say yes less, and say no more. I think our legacies, our organization, relates to taking on too much. So be very deliberate. What do you want your brand to be? Don't you want to be known as the guy who's 3 for 3 and not 3 for 5?
You know, I'm a procrastinator, professional Olympic level, and I've gotten better at it, but I'm not great at it. You know, I'm putting off a decision that I need to make right now. But having said that, you take procrastination, combine it with ADD, you got some problems, and I have both of those. But if I just do one thing, if I stop thinking about the order of things that I have to do, if I stop making specific lists and then feel badly about myself at the end of the day, if I just do one thing, and then I just do the next thing, and then I just do the next thing, I get stuff accomplished. Does that sound crazy?
Not at all. In fact, I think most of the seasoned leaders will tell you, when you're faced, Steve, with an especially challenging task, you know, having a high courage conversation or a negotiation or something that's really emotionally charged, do it first. Get it out of the way. It sounds easy. It's harder to do. But everybody that I interview that's a senior executive will tell you, they get in the morning and they kick off the most challenging things first, because the psychological energy it releases and your anxiety lessens. Now you have energy for the rest of the task as well. Figure out what is the thing that's most preoccupying you. Exercise the courage, get it done, and move on.
Mary Vandeville.
So, Scott, you're saying it's kind of not as good to multitask, to be more. I always thought it was good to be good at a lot of things versus great at one thing, because that makes you a more interesting person, because, you know, you have a lot more hobbies. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's a difference in being a generalist as opposed to a specialist. I'm a generalist, right? I host a radio program. I'm an author. I speak. I lead marketing. But that doesn't mean I'm doing all those things at the same time. Let's not confuse the value of being well-rounded, well-educated, and being able to do a lot of different things with not doing them at the same time. All the scientific research shows that we are wired, our brains are wired to do one thing at a time, defend ourselves from a tiger, right? Eat food, hunt, whatever it is. So let's separate the very valuable asset of being broad in our knowledge and in our capabilities, but exercising them very specifically on one thing and then the next. You can kind of only land one plane at a time with excellence. And I think excellence is the differentiator. Too many of us are doing too many things at B level, when if we said no to more, we could do fewer things at A level.
Steve Grzanich, you talk to business leaders all the time on the Opening Bell. My guest is Scott Jeffrey Miller. The book is Management Mess to Leadership Success. Is there one thing that you hear from CEOs again and again and again that seems to be a leadership quality?
The leaders, the CEOs we interview, they all have a routine. They all have, especially a morning routine. I wonder how important that is to your, you know, just to begin your day, regardless of when you begin it, to have a routine, either make your bed or exercise or do something like that in the morning.
I think, again, most of science shows that highly influential leaders do that. They have a morning routine. But I think more importantly is understanding what is your natural cycle, if you will, your energy, your stamina. Daniel Pink, the social scientist, wrote a famed book called When. One of the essence of the book is understanding what is your natural cycle in terms of your peaks, your valleys, and how you kind of bounce back, your troughs. My peak is 4 a.m. to 9 a.m., my highest energy. And if you want my best thinking, my best interview, my best creativity, get me before 9 or 9:30 in the morning. And then I kind of go into a trough at lunchtime. I bounce back after lunch. But everybody knows if you want to be and get Scott's finest attention, get it first thing in the morning. And I've actually started to organize my activities, my meetings, my one-on-ones, my interviews first thing in the morning. So for people, I think, I don't know if it doesn't matter if you're productive in the morning or in the evening, know kind of your own energy level, where what time of day is your best, and then deliberately organize your day around your natural energy flow.
Yeah, I mean, after 10 o'clock, I'm pretty much useless.
Yeah, but it's important to note, I mean, I've talked to people who, especially our creatives, who have that energy pop in the afternoon. So it's important to say that it's not necessarily in the morning. Yeah,
yeah. Marcia, morning
or
afternoon
or even
person.
In the evening.
You know,
right? I know a lot of authors that write their books late at night.
Yeah,
right. Whatever it
takes. I agree.
You're a night person.
I was going to say nighttime works for me.
Yeah, well, because you're out at the clubs.
No,
oh,
no.
Sorry, that's a different person.
A lot of musicians are at night too.
What a mess.
The book is called Management Mess to Leadership Success. Scott Jeffrey Miller, thank you.
That's great. I'll be at the book stall in Winnetka tonight signing books at 6:30. So come on up and say hi and get a book signed.
And keep in mind, he's a morning person, so don't stay too long and talk to him. I appreciate you being on.